Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Mark chapter 13. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. This is the text. Last week, we heard the first part of Jesus answering the disciples' question, when will these things be? And what will be the sign that these things are about to be accomplished? Like most people, the disciples were interested in knowing when all this was going to come to an end. They were walking around the temple in Jerusalem, marveling at the massive stones, these magnificent buildings. And Jesus told them there would come a day when not one stone would be left upon another. Again, it's important to remember that in answering their question about when things would be accomplished, Jesus really answers two questions, because the destruction of Jerusalem would not be the destruction of the world. He tells them that Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, the temple, all those buildings in 70 AD. He doesn't give the exact date, but he says, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. But, he says, concerning that last day, concerning, you know, that hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Jesus has yielded the authority to determine the time of the end of the world to his Father in heaven. He alone has set the date. So if anyone tells you that they have inside information or some prophetic vision of when this will happen, that's pretty much the definition of blasphemy. Setting yourself up to be equal to God. Well, throughout this month of November, really beginning at All Saints Day, we have been focusing our attention on the signs of the end times, the coming of Christ, the second time, and also our relationship with the saints who are already with the Lord in heaven, who have come out of the great tribulation, washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb, as Scripture says. Like the disciples, like most people throughout the ages, we tend to be interested in looking for the signs of the end. When will these things be? Only the Father knows. So Jesus says, be on guard. Stay awake. Be alert. The image is of the watchman at the door. The master has given you responsibility. When the doorkeeper fails, everyone inside is put in danger. If I fail in faithfully executing my duties as a pastor, I could bring destruction upon hundreds of people by leading you astray, driving you away from the love and mercy of God, changing the gospel, so that it's no longer the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. If I encourage you to place your trust elsewhere, maybe in yourself. But it's not just pastors. Anyone who has authority, especially you parents, you are the doorkeeper for someone else. You have an obligation to them today and tomorrow and the next day. It's not just something that you can, you know, oh, we'll take care of that down the road. We do not know when the Master will return. Looking at all the things that Jesus says about when he will come, the picture is pretty clear that this is something that requires our constant attention and our immediate attention. He says he will come when we least expect it. He says that his coming will be like in the days of the flood, in the days of Noah. Right up to the time of the flood, Jesus says elsewhere, you know, everyone was going around their daily business, planting their fields, planning for weddings. This is how it will be on the last day. Some bride or groom will be just about to say, I do. When Jesus comes, the sound of trumpets, angels, stars falling from the sky, and the wedding comes to an abrupt stop. Or shall we say, a different kind of wedding feast is just about to start. A better one. The wedding feast of Christ and his bride, the church. The ongoing feast. The eternal feast. The feast which has no end, of which we get a foretaste in the broken body and shed blood of Christ our Lord. Jesus says, you do not know when the master of the house will come. Perhaps in the evening, or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or in the morning. Now, staying awake all night, just sitting and watching, it's not easy to do. And the farther into the night you sit and watch for the master to come, the harder it is. The more tempted you are to not stay focused on the one task you have been given. We see it all the time where people get burnt out. They get tired of watching. This is another aspect of what Jesus speaks of elsewhere concerning the end. He never says remaining faithful to the end will be easy. He says that the path to heaven is the narrow way. The narrow gate you must pass through. The broad and easy road leads to destruction. The world will hate you on account of the name of Jesus Christ. Anyone who loves his life in this world will lose it. I could just keep going, you know, going on quoting Jesus for the rest of my sermon. That wouldn't be a bad thing. I mean, we can never hear too much of the Word of God. But the point of all this, and the point that Jesus makes over and over again all throughout his ministry, is that his message is very different from anything else you will hear in this world, and it is not always something that is going to make you feel comfortable. The image of the end time, with the sun and the moon being darkened, stars falling out of the sky, it's not comfortable. In fact, it's downright frightening. And really, it's meant to be frightening. All of this is going to pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus says. The only thing in this life that you will carry with you into the resurrection, Jesus says, my words. My words will not pass away. God's word of promise is eternal. It's unchangeable. It is truth. As I said last week, our world around us doesn't like the concept of truth. Then again, Jesus' message, the gospel, is very different from anything else you will ever hear in this world. At first reading, Jesus' answer to the disciples about the end of the world, the coming end times. At first reading, it sounds like a lot of scary law. And there is some scary law in there. Then again, the law of God tends to be scary because the law always condemns. It always points its finger and says, you're guilty. Now, it doesn't only condemn. It has other purposes too, but it always condemns. Which is why we cling to the gospel. And within Jesus' answer to his disciples, you hear this eternal truth. My words will not pass away. Do you have any idea what it is you have received in baptism? In Holy Communion? In the proclamation of Scripture? It's the Word of God joined with that water. That Word that you then carry with you all of your life. The words of institution joined with the bread and the wine, so that you get to participate in something miraculous, that the Son of God feeds you with His very body and blood. The words of absolution are spoken to you. And Jesus says, this is me speaking to you. I'm just up here making noise. This is God proclaiming that your sins are forgiven. All of this that God brings to you is for the forgiveness of your sin, your life, your salvation in Christ. Earth and everything in it will pass away. Even heaven, as it is currently constituted, will pass away. This body will one day cease to function the way that it currently does, unless Christ returns first. But his words will not pass away. Cherish that word of promise. Cherish the words of the Son of God, who has covered your sin, who has guaranteed your resurrection. And as Jesus says, be on guard. Stay awake, for he is coming once again. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds. In Christ Jesus. Amen.